Our series this summer has been on the 23rd Psalm, one of the most familiar and beloved passages in the entire Bible. We've been taking it a phrase at a time, from "the Lord is my shepherd" to "he restores my soul." And this morning we come to the verse that has received perhaps the widest variety of translations over the years. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Others say, "he leads me or guides me in right paths," or else "in straight paths." John Goldengay translates "faithful paths." The version we read this morning, you might have heard, said "pathways of justice." Eugene Peterson's The Message says, "true to your word, you send me in the right direction." He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Briefly now, it's common in the Psalms to speak of God's leading, naha in the Hebrew language, and nearly half of the word's occurrences occur here in the Psalms. God leads or guides those who trust in him, particularly in times of danger or distress. But first and foremost, this is an Exodus word, recalling Israel's journey through the wilderness when the Lord shepherded his people like a flock, leading them with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. As Rabbi Harold Kushner notes, when God led his people up to the promised land, he did not necessarily take them by the shortest and most direct route. But he led them in a roundabout way, in which they learned through long experience what it is to be God's people. In the same way, Jesus' ministry didn't begin until he'd been led into the wilderness. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus was followed by him going not up to Jerusalem to join the apostles, but out into Arabia on his own. Kushner explains that maybe in plane geometry the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, but in life, the shortest distance to our goal may be an indirect roundabout route. He leads me all the way through the wilderness by the roundabout paths of life. The great hymns about God's guidance invariably reference this wilderness experience. We couldn't possibly sing them all this morning. "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside?" Or, "he leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me." He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. When the psalmist asks God to lead him in a way that is straight or right or level, it's often with the threat of enemies in view, before whom one misstep could be fatal. In Psalm 5, verse 8, David says, "Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me." Or in Psalm 27, he says, "Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my enemies." Paths of righteousness are meant to keep us safe. They're paths that keep us from danger. We're prone to think that rules or commandments can be limiting or confining. Much of the time, like stubborn sheep, we don't want to be led in paths of righteousness. But as any parent will tell you, the rules are for our own good. One time shepherd Philip Keller explains, "if left to themselves, sheep will follow the same trails until they become ruts. They will graze the same hills until they turn to desert wastes. nor pollute their own ground until it's corrupt with disease and parasites. Sheep need the guidance of a shepherd, or they end up facing the ruins of their own misguided choices. Learning and walking in God's ways, in paths of righteousness, is the way of security and of freedom. Psalm 25, our call to worship, put it this way. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. Psalm 119, the longest psalm, whose 176 verses speak in praise of God's word and instruction, expresses that freedom that can only be found in paths of righteousness. It says, I will run in the way of your commandments, for you have set my heart free. That the shepherd leads me in paths of righteousness means that he has my best interests at heart, watching out for me. He leads me in ways that are for my good. They are also for his glory. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As Philip Keller explains, the shepherd's reputation is on the line in the condition of his sheep. The wisdom and competence of the shepherd is revealed in how he moves and manages his flock. In the same way, God is shown to be a God of righteousness and of faithfulness and of justice in the care of his people. In the book of the prophet Ezekiel, shortly after he declares that he himself will shepherd his flock and rescue them from the places where they've been scattered in exile, the Lord tells them, "It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but it is for the sake of my holy name. I will show the holiness of my great name," he says, "when I am proved holy through you before their eyes." The Lord is proved holy through his people. The shepherd is proved faithful through his flock. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Bible often draws the starkest of contrasts between two ways of life. There is a way that leads to life, following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways. And there is a way that, as it says in Proverbs, seems right to you and me, but in the end leads to death. Israel's journey to the promised land ends with a choice between these two ways. After rehearsing and recapping all of the things that they had learned in the wilderness, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 concludes, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life, that you and your descendants may live." The Psalms employ this image of the way nearly 100 times, beginning with the very first psalm, where those who delight in the law of the Lord are like a tree planted by streams of water, but the wicked are like chaff that the wind drives away. In the New Testament, long before the name Christian caught on, the first believers in the risen Jesus were known as the Way. More than just a name to differentiate them from other religious groups, it shows that they were defined more by a way of life than by a set of beliefs. Jesus brings this theme of the two ways to a head near the end of his Sermon on the Mount, when he speaks about what's become commonly known as the straight and narrow way. "Enter through the narrow gate," he says, "for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Sounds hard. Impossible, even, to walk such a tightrope in life. But it is the promise of the psalm that he leads me. We are not left to walk this path alone, but he leads me in paths of righteousness and brings me back when I go astray. Just as Jesus said in John's Gospel, "I am the good shepherd," so also he says, "I am the way." As Eugene Peterson explains, Jesus doesn't just point out the way and then step aside and let us get there on our own the best we can. But he invites us to go with him, saying, "Come, follow me." Peterson goes on, he says, to follow Jesus implies that we enter into a way of life that is given character and shape and direction by the one who calls us. To follow Jesus means picking up rhythms and ways of doing things that are often unsaid, but always derived from Jesus, formed by the influence of Jesus. To follow Jesus means that we can't separate what Jesus is saying from what Jesus is doing in the way that he does it. To follow Jesus is as much, or maybe even more, about our hands and feet as it is about our ears and eyes. Christian life, then, can't be reduced to what we believe or how we behave.
Yeah.
It is about a person whom we follow. This is the way in which my shepherd leads me. We follow him on the pages of the Gospels through the dusty roads of Galilee, along the lake shore, and in the boat, as he teaches, as he heals, as he shows compassion to the hurting and feeds the multitudes. We follow him to the cross and risen up from the grave. "I am the way," Jesus says. "Come, follow me." This is the way that we are on together. Often strange and unfamiliar, even as it winds through the everyday territory of home and family, of work and school and neighborhood. So we keep our eyes on the shepherd, who will not fail to lead us in paths of righteousness, day by day. Amen.